Let me see what you can do.
Hot topics and interviews.
And that's just how we do it.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.
Entertainment Man Podcast is brought to you by Crispy on the Web. Go to crispyontheweb.com for more information, social media, and much, much more. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Entertainment Man Podcast. I'm your host, Crispy Man. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to another interview podcast. I know, I got a lot of interviews right now. Welcome to another episode. This is the last episode for March 2023. Can't believe it. March is already gone already. Like, we're heading into April this week, I guess, at the Saturday, I think it is. Saturday or something. Anyways, today I have Brandon on the podcast. He's a public speaker. How's it going, Brandon?
Life is great, Chris. How are you?
Oh, good. Busy, busy, busy. With three projects, I'm always go, 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 go. It's like, it never ends for me.
I love that, man.
Yeah, well, no, busy is good, too. Now I got a second YouTube channel started up, so that's going to be keeping me even more busy. So, you know, busy is good in the way of being a content creator. And you probably noticed that by my posts on LinkedIn. That's how we connected. So
absolutely. You're doing so well on LinkedIn. Love it.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I'm growing pretty quick. I'm surprised. I was originally on there. Then I got a bunch of spam comments. Okay, I'm going to delete my account. And I came back. So
you made a return.
Yeah, I know how to control the problem there now. So I know you get one or two people that like to spam you or bug you on there. But it's a great platform. Can't say anything bad about it. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure, Chris. So for me, the story started in college, university. I went to business school. And I studied in accounting, funny enough. I thought I was going to be a numbers guy my whole life. Mm-hmm. But life had other plans for me. So while I was in college, I started doing these things called case competitions. Think of it like professional sports, but for nerds. Mm-hmm. So while the guys my age were playing basketball or rugby or baseball, I wasn't really one of those guys. So I did presentations competitively, Chris, and that's how I learned how to speak.
Okay.
Then as I got older, I started coaching other students on how to communicate. And then I realized I was good at it, so I started making videos on communication, called it Master Talk, and the rest is history.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I remember when I started doing like all these projects, I wasn't a good speaker, but it also takes practice too.
Oh, yeah.
It takes time and practice, and you get better. Because I remember, for example, when I did The Entertainment Man and all my old projects back in 2005 to 2014, I was talking very quiet like that in the microphone. But now I'm loud. I'm not obnoxious, but I mean like loud and a bigger,
vivacious.
Yeah, and more of a louder personality now than I was. But it does take time and practice to do that. To, you know, it's, you can't do it overnight, right?
Absolutely. Well said. Yeah.
What do you love about public speaking?
I would say for me, Chris, you know, what I love about speaking is, for me, communication is not just about being on a stage, giving a TED talk, because that's not what I do mostly anyways. Yeah. Communication is every part of our life. Mm-hmm. It's the way that we talk to our family. It's the way that we raise our children. It's the way that we make new friends. It's every moment of our life. That's why I like to call communication the accelerant of dreams. It doesn't matter what the dream is. Communication helps you get there faster.
Very true. That's very true. What's the biggest challenge with public speaking?
I would say for me, Chris, the biggest challenge, a lot of people think it's fear. I don't think it's fear. And the reason is because there's so many things in our life that we've done fearful, right? Getting a job, asking somebody on a date, applying for college, getting a job, right? All these things, getting married, having kids. There's so many things that we do that we're scared, but we do it anyways because the motivation is greater than the fear. So I think the biggest challenge is motivation. How do you stay motivated to actually work on your communication skills? That's why I always ask this question. How would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just thinking of that. You're going to make me think about that. And maybe I'll end up doing a post about it on LinkedIn later. But I mean, like, that was one big thing I had a problem with growing up myself was, you know, communicating was a big, big, going back to my original team, we had that problem with communication. You know, you have to, it's not just a one-way street, but it's it has to be both parties, right?
Absolutely, Chris. You know, what you really touched on is communication is not just about speaking. Mm-hmm. It's also about listening. It's interaction. It's the people around us and how we build rapport with them, for sure.
Exactly. I totally agree. What should we start practicing tomorrow for public speaking?
Yeah, for sure, Chris. You know, for me, communication is like juggling 18 balls at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
One of those balls is eye contact. One of them is facial expressions. One of them is body language. But it can get confusing really fast. So for me, the question has simply been, what are the three easiest balls to juggle?
Mm-hmm.
I call them my easy threes. So let me give you the first one, and I'm happy to share the others if you'd like. But the first one is the random word exercise. Pick a word, any word, like book, like Canada, like country, like door, like shelf, and create random presentations out of thin air. And this serves two main purposes, Chris. Number one is it helps you deal with uncertainty. Because guess what? Life is filled with uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know how to deal with that. And the second piece is if you can make sense out of nonsense, you could make sense out of anything. So if you can talk about avocados for 30 seconds, you could talk about your expertise really easily. So just do that a few times a day.
Okay. If you want to go with the other two, you're welcome to.
Happy to share. So number two is the question drill, Chris. Mm-hmm. We get asked questions all the time in our life, at school, at work, from our friends, when it comes to sales. But most of us are not prepared for the questions that life hasn't stored for us. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago when I started guesting on podcasts, I sucked. I remember some guy asked me, hey, Brendan, where does the fear of communication come from? And I looked at him and I said, I don't know, dude. Los Angeles? Toronto? New York? You tell me. I don't know where the fear of communication comes from. So how did I fix this? Every single day, for 5 minutes a day, Chris, I answered one question that I thought the world would ask me about my expertise, my products or my services. So day one was, how do you overcome your fear of communication? Day two was, you know, how do you become a better speaker? Day three was, how do you get better as an introvert? But if you do that once a day for a year with 5 minutes of work, you'll have answered 365 questions about your industry, and you'll be bulletproof. And then finally, number three is make a list of three people you love the most in your life. Could be a brother, a sister, a guest on a podcast, a client, a friend, and send them a 20-second video message to say, hey, Chris, I'm thinking about you. I love all the work that you're doing in the world, and I'm really blessed to have you in my life. Hope you're having a wonderful day. That's it. Do it three times a day.
All right. Where was I here? Why do we struggle so much with public speaking?
Yeah, I think the reason, Chris, we struggle with communication is because we grew up believing it was a chore. Let me explain. So when we were kids, where do we learn how to speak? We learned how to speak in middle school, in high school, in elementary school, because that's where we give formal presentations. But all of those presentations, Chris, have three fundamental challenges. Number one is they're all mandatory. We don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, Chris, you want to get breakfast and present all day? Nobody says that. That's number one. Number two is they're never something you're passionate about. It's never, hey, Chris, what are you passionate about? Personal growth, entertainment, media, radio shows. No. You got to talk about Shakespeare and poetry, and you don't really have a choice in the matter. And that's what 100% of your presentations are. And finally, number three.
Mm-hmm.
Every presentation, unfortunately, Chris, is tied to a punishment. So if you don't do a great job, you get slapped in the face. And every single presentation, history, French, English, Spanish, sciences, gym, music class, every presentation conditions us to believe that communication is a chore. So it becomes one, and nobody wants to get better at doing the dishes.
Okay. How can we present better online?
Absolutely, Chris. So for me, presenting better online just means understanding the three key differences between in-person and online. Online just means one, eye contact. When you're in person, you move your body around to the different people that you're speaking to. You move your eyes around. When you're online, whether you're speaking to one or 10,000 people, you're only supposed to look in one direction. And that one direction is the camera lens. Because if you look at the camera lens directly, you're giving the illusion that you're speaking to 10,000 people at the same time.
Yeah.
That's number one. Okay. Number two is energy. Let's face it, Chris, it's a lot easier to show up with energy when you're in person because of accountability. You got to shower in the morning and you got to get up in the morning. Whereas when you're online, even if you want to bring your best, you're still in sweatpants like I am. So you can't bring the best energy.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is bring more energy in person and transfer as much of that as possible. Finally, number three, audience engagement. It's really easy to get feedback from your audience if you're right in front of them, if you're in person. Just get feedback with them. Get dinner with them. But when you're online, there's a lot of friction because the call just ends. So you got to get on more calls with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very true. And that I think I touched about that on one of my other interviews. It was probably the one with Damien there a few weeks ago. It's just getting that little note too as well. Getting the feedback, even like on the comments or, well, for example, YouTube, for that's the only way you can comment on this podcast. But I mean, like also through email or social media, that is still, you still get that little note saying, hey, great job on the podcast today. And, you know, like, you know, I really enjoyed it and all that. That's really good to hear too.
Absolutely. That's really the key.
Yeah. Where do you get, where did the idea for Master Talk come from?
Yeah, for sure, Chris. So for me, the idea for Master Talk really came from college. You know, while I was doing these presentation competitions, I got really good at speaking. And I accidentally got good at coaching other people on how to speak. And then what happened was through that experience, I realized that, wait a second, nobody was sharing any of these things for free, like tips on how to speak, especially in my age group. So I went on YouTube and I started watching all the videos on communication, and I was horrified by what I saw. I was like, this is all really bad. It's really stale. It's not exciting. There isn't any enthusiasm. So let me be the X factor. So I just started making videos. I had the naivete to think I could do better, honestly. And I started making videos in my mom's basement. Every single week I showed up. And from some stroke of luck and some magic, a few years later, turned to what it is today.
That's awesome. And actually, that's how I'm doing mine. I'm actually with my parents right now. But I mean, you know, that's how you start. You start small, and then it's just amazing how far you get later on.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to grow on YouTube, too. I know that for a fact. As a content creator, it's not easy to get noticed. It took me a year to get 32 subscribers. Crazy.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is. Any advice to those who want to get into public speaking?
My advice would be focus on one ball at a time. So remember how we said communication is like 18 balls, or one of them is body language, one of them is storytelling, one of them is eye contact. So for me, it's more about saying, are we booking 15 minutes in our calendar, Chris, every single day to do the easy threes, to do the random word exercise, to do the question drill, to do the video messages? I really encourage people who are listening to this, just book the time. It doesn't cost you anything. Just do the random word exercise 5 times a day, do the question drill once a day, and send 3 video messages. And don't worry about retaking the video. Just send what you got. And if you did do that every day, in 30 days, you'll just be so much better at communication. Just most people aren't willing to do it.
I should actually try that with one of my staff member that I'm having difficulty with. I should actually maybe message her after and said, hey, should try this. And maybe we can kind of, it might help us, you know? I could change someone's life from doing suggesting that. I'm going to definitely recommend it to people.
Absolutely. That's great, Chris.
What inspired you to create Master Talk?
Yeah, you know, for me, Chris, I got to a point in my life where I always believed before the starting of Master Talk that money was the most important thing in the world because I never had any of it. You know, my parents were factory workers. I was the first person in my family to go to university and graduate with a degree. So for me, it was really about making money. How do I get a job? How do I become an accountant? How do I become successful? And that's what happened. You know, I got a fantastic job at IBM. I worked as a tech consultant there. And I did well financially. But I came to a stark realization in my life, Chris. And luckily, I learned it earlier rather than later, which is that time is far more valuable than money. You can make money, but you can't buy your time back. You can't go back and say, hey, I'll give you $10 million. Can you give me my 10 years back? No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So when you get to that point, you have to ask yourself, if you had all the money in the world, how would you spend your time? And I realized that it wasn't my corporate job, that I had a unique gift in sharing ideas for free with people. And sure, yeah, I have coaching and I coach a lot of executives. That's how I make money. But on the mission front, which is also helping those people, but more so helping the person who can't even afford a coach, I think that became my North Star. And I realized nobody else was really thinking in that way. So it became my unique purpose in life.
All right. What daily exercises can be used to practice communication? I guess that would go towards what you were saying, right?
That's correct. So let's recap them. The random word exercise, pick one random word, 2 random words, 3 random words a day, phone, light bulb, suitcase, and create a 60-second presentation out of each one. That's one. And do this with your kids, nieces, nephews. Do it in the shower. Just do it. That's really the point. Don't worry about how good it is, how nice it sounds. Just worry about doing it a lot. That's one. The question drill. Write out a bunch of questions. Like, let's say I'm coaching somebody who guests on podcasts. I go, listen to your last podcast and write down every question that they asked you on that podcast. How would you re-answer those questions if you had a second shot at them? That's the question drill. Or if you're at work, it's guess all of the questions that you think your coworkers will ask you about your presentation. Every single day, just answer one of them. And then number three, video messages. The only rule to the video message is you're not allowed to retake the video. So just pick somebody. Facebook, see whose birthday it is. Open your phone, click the video app on Facebook, and just go, "What's up? I know it's your birthday today. I hope you're having a wonderful day." Click send. Just do that 3 times a day. And in a month, you'll have sent 100 video messages almost.
Okay, awesome. What are the benefits from the daily exercises for practice communication?
Yeah, for me, the way I see the benefits, it's twofold, right? So one is it'll directly impact your financial target. Whether you're an executive at a company, whether you're working a job right now, whether you have a business, communication just makes everything more efficient. If you're a great speaker, you can get more clients into the business, you can command better salaries. But the other piece, which I think is more important, is communication improves the quality of your life. If you're a great speaker, you know how to talk to people, you know how to engage, you're just going to gain access to opportunities that people don't. Imagine if I didn't know how to talk. I wouldn't be on a podcast. People wouldn't want to talk to me, right? Same thing, right? If you didn't know how to talk, people wouldn't listen to you either, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same idea. Communication helps you make your life better. But it's not just about being on a podcast, any of that stuff. It's also, Chris, about saying, if we listen to the people that we love, if we smile when they're there, if we're present with them, whenever we can, we're not going to be perfect, but if we're present whenever we can, what this does is it improves the quality of our life. It improves the way that we show up for our families. It improves the way that we show up for everyone else. And it just makes the world a better place. That's the other piece.
Yeah, I agree. It does make the world a better place. Too much hate in this world, you know? You got to make someone smile every day. Whether it's one or two people, it's always good to make someone smile.
Well said.
How do we present in the group presentation?
For sure, Chris. So group presentations, what I always like to share is a tip called puzzle. Mm-hmm. Communication is like a jigsaw puzzle, Chris. You know those little toys we used to play as kids, like 1,000 pieces, put the puzzle together.
Yeah.
So now the question becomes for all of us, when we're working on a jigsaw puzzle, which pieces do we start with first and why? And the answer is the edges. And the reason is because, actually, it seems like you know the answer. So why don't you tell us? Why is it the edges?
It's an easy way to get started too. You know, it's just very easy to get started with it. And, you know, you do the outside. My mom's a puzzle fanatic. She has it here. She does it every winter. Minus last winter, she didn't do much because of her knee, but that's besides the point. But it's easy to do the outside first, and then you just go from there because you can just look for the pieces that go on the outer, like the next part of that outer part, and then kind of go in and in. But she does it differently. She kind of goes all over the place. But you know what I mean? It's just easier to get you started. You have a frame to work with, and you kind of get an idea where things fit and everything.
Perfect answer, Chris. I love that. You clearly have a lot of puzzle experts in your family, but you got it, which is, yeah. Hey, Brendan, it helps us create a frame. So why am I bringing this up? Because when we prepare for group presentations, Chris, unfortunately, we do the opposite, which is we start at the middle first. We shove a bunch of content. We get to the presentation. We ramble throughout the whole thing. And the last slide sounds something like this. Thanks. Not the right approach.
Yeah.
So instead, what you want to do is practice like a jigsaw puzzle. Start with the edges first, meaning whenever you present, just work on your introduction, just your first 2 minutes, 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, until it's absolutely perfect. Sounds like a lot, but it's only 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes to do this 20 times. Not that bad. Same thing with the conclusion. What's a great movie with a terrible ending? Last time I took terrible movie, right? So same thing. Practice just your conclusion, just the close, 10 times, 20 times until it's perfect, and then tackle the middle.
Okay. I've been having that problem with the podcast. Like intro, good, and then the middle was good, but the ending is just, I kind of fumble on myself all the time. So that's something I need to work on. But, you know, again, it just takes practice. But I've been doing this for 3 years, so I should be an expert by now.
Absolutely.
And one thing I want to do, you made me kind of think about it while you were talking. I was like, you know what? There's a presentation I did back in at college, Durham College. That's where I'm in the Durham area of Ontario. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to review that and see how well I did. I'm going to critique myself, what I could have done better at that presentation. So I'm going to kind of go back and look at it.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
I might even do like a little video and think, okay, I'm going to do this. I should have done this better. Ooh, it's got an idea for content.
There you go.
Any advice for presenting in groups? And I know before you answer that, I know group presenting is really, really stressful, nerve-wracking all the time too. It can be.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. But so here's the way that I would approach a group presentation. The way that I would approach, it's still a puzzle, right? We're still applying puzzle. But there's a couple of added points, especially when you're presenting as a team, like when you're 2 to 3 people presenting. The first part is, as the leader of the team, which you are now the leader if you're listening to this episode because you have the information, give everyone easy parts. Like, make everyone's life easier. Understand what everyone's strengths and weaknesses are, because you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? Like, if your worst presenter is really, really bad and everyone else is really, really good, people will think the presentation is really, really bad. So what you want to do is you want to understand what the strengths and the weaknesses are, and you delegate that based on their strengths so that everyone has a good part. That's the first piece. So you generally want to take on the hardest parts yourself as the leader of the team. That's advice number one. Advice number two is, oftentimes you want your best speaker to begin and or close the presentation, so it leaves a great impression. And the other piece is, when other people are speaking, remember that when you are speaking, sorry, let me repeat that again. When you are not speaking, you are still speaking. What does that mean? That means, let's say John, Julia, and Jones are giving a presentation. Julia's talking, but Jones is not paying attention to what Julia is saying. Mm-hmm. So she's talking and Jones is going, oh yeah, I wonder what's for lunch today. Mm-hmm. What are we signaling to the audience? We're signaling to the audience, Chris, that wait a second, if Jones spent 3 months preparing for this presentation with Julia and he doesn't care about what Julia has to say, it must be terrible. I should probably do something else too. And we're not going to pay attention. So remember that even when you're not speaking, you're still speaking. So make sure that you're listening to the other people. You're nodding your head. You're smiling as people are talking.
And eye contact with your other members of the team as well, right?
You got it. Absolutely.
Any advice on how to communicate if you're introverted?
Yeah, for sure. So what I would say for introverts, Chris, the game that we need to play here is an understanding that introverts are actually better at communication than they think. And let me prove this through 3 key arguments. Number one, introverts are much better listeners. Listening is one of the most important skills in speaking. Guess what? Introverts are built with it because they don't talk a lot. So naturally, they'll listen a lot more. Whereas me, I make a great podcast guest because I'm always yapping all the time. I'm always talking. That's why I'm super extroverted. So it's really hard for me to listen to people sometimes. So they're really good at that. Number two, they're really good at the most important technique in communication, which I would argue, Chris, is the pause. Knowing how to pause and take a breath to reel your audience in is the most important technique in speaking. And introverts can learn this easily overnight. Why? Because they live in silence. Once again, they don't talk that much. So it's really easy for them to implement pausing in the way that they speak. Unlike me, being an extrovert, when I'm at a party, I'm at a bar, I'm at an event, and I'm talking, and there's a pause, I get nervous, I get nauseous, to the point that I try and fill up that space and go, what's your favorite color? And that's how we bridge the gap. That's number two. And then the final piece is accessibility. Introverts are way more accessible as communicators than extroverts. Let me give you an example. Let's say we compare Gary Vaynerchuk and Brené Brown. So for those who don't know, obviously Gary Vee has a massive personal brand. He's the CEO and founder of VaynerMedia. But he's the type of speaker that you either really love or you really hate. So you either go, oh my God, this person's amazing. I have a lot of respect for his work personally. And then you have another group of people who go, oh my God, I hate this person. He's swearing all the time. I can't bring this guy near my kids. They are never watching his YouTube videos. So that's what an extrovert speaker does, is they're polarizing. Whereas Brené Brown, nobody says, I hate Brené Brown. Because if you say that, you go to jail. The FBI, the CIA, the SWAT team's going to come to your house, take your family. Obviously, I'm kidding there. But you get the idea. When you're a little bit more introverted, like Brené Brown is, you're more accessible to the people around you, to the way that you convey ideas, and you can spread ideas faster. So triple down your strengths is the advice.
All right. I think I'm kind of between introverted and extroverted, like you said. I'm kind of in between there. I kind of a little bit of both, I guess. That's what I'm thinking. You kind of make me think today, like which one is introverted and extroverted is the other one, right? I think that's what.
Yeah. You got it, Chris. So essentially how it works is, like, it's a spectrum, right? Like the middle is called ambivert, where you're both. But it's like nobody's really extreme on one or the other. I think it's more everyone's an ambivert with such and such tendencies.
Yeah.
So like me, we're all ambiverts. So I'm an ambivert with extroverted tendencies. And then somebody else will go, I'm an ambivert with introverted tendencies. So it's just different for people.
Yeah. I know online there's like a quiz or something you can see, but I don't know how accurate they are. But
Yeah.
I think I'm more introverted a little bit. I think I am because I can put out ideas within seconds. I have like papers all over me. I have like a sticky notepad here. I got a pen in my hand half the time. Like, you know, I'm able to put the idea. So that's definitely introverted, I think.
For sure. Absolutely.
What struggles do people have when communicating?
I would say the biggest struggle, Chris, by far is lack of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we want to get fit, what do? We go to a gym. And then the problem is we don't stay consistent. We don't keep going to the gym and we don't follow the right steps. I think that's the big piece is how do we stay more consistent with our communication? There's a couple of ways of doing that. Obviously, coaching is paid accountability. It's forced accountability. But there's other solutions that work too. Toastmasters, really cheap. Finding a friend to do the random word exercise with. I force a lot of my CEOs, Chris, to start every meeting with the random word exercise. So before the meeting even starts, everyone has to do the random word exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get better. And then then it's fun. And there's no you know, bad intent. It's just everyone's having fun and we're doing the exercise. But the key is really doing a little bit for a long time. Like if you work out for 15 minutes a day for a year and you don't miss a day, you will get healthier. You might not be the next bodybuilder with 15 minutes a day, but you'll definitely be healthier than otherwise you wouldn't. Yeah, if you eat less junk food on a day-to-day basis, you cut out soft drinks, and you do that for a year, chances are you'll be healthier. And it's the same thing with communication. Don't worry about, you know, what are the other 15 balls that Brendan has? Worry more about saying, if I'm not willing to do the random word exercise 100 times, not every day, not every month, but in your life, that only takes 100 minutes. So if you do it once a day for 3 months, you'll hit 100. If you do it twice a day, you'll hit it in 50 days. If you do it 10 times a day, you'll be done in 10 days. And then you never have to touch the exercise again. So that's really the key is really just get to 100 in all of them. Get to 100 video messages. Get to 100 random word exercises. Get to 100 question drills and watch your life change.
All right. Any book recommendations you would recommend for speaking?
Absolutely, Chris. So the book that I'll recommend is called Thirst by Scott Harrison. Scott Harrison is the CEO and founder of Charity Water, which is a nonprofit he started to help the world gain access to clean water. I'm a big fan of Scott's work. I think the guy's absolutely exceptional. But the reason I recommend the book is because he's one of the best storytellers on the planet, full stop. He is so good at enrolling people into a vision. And he's also a great example for all of us of Pope Francis's quote, which is, all it takes to have hope in the world is one person. And why can't that person just be you? And Scott's a great example because he was a nightclub promoter in his 20s. He got people drunk for a living in New York City. And that guy went to build the world's largest water charity, or at least in America. He raised $100 million to help people gain access to water in the last 12 months. And that's exceptional. So yeah, I'd highly recommend the read.
All right. Is there a website or social media that you have your listeners want to check out?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So great to be on the show. So there's two ways to keep in touch with me. Number one is the free training. So I do a free communication workshop over Zoom that's live, that's interactive, that everyone's invited to. And I facilitate this myself. So it's every 2 weeks. And if you want to jump on that, all you have to do, and it's free, go to rockstarcommunicator.com. That's one piece. The other piece is, of course, the YouTube channel. Just type Master Talk in one word and you'll have access to hundreds of free videos on how to speak.
Perfect. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add that we did not talk about today?
Yeah, I would say the only thing left, Chris, is let's go back to that question. How would your life change if you were an exceptional communicator? I'd encourage everybody listening to this to really reflect on that question. Because you don't need to be the next Oprah Winfrey. That's not the point here. The point is more to go, if I became a better communicator, I could show up better for my children as a mom or a dad. If I was a better communicator, I could show up as a better coworker. I could show up as a better friend. That one moment when I'm at a restaurant and the waiter's really sad because he's always being barraged by customers, I could be the one person that evening who smiles at them and makes their day. That's what communication is about. It's about making the world a better place. It's about inspiring us to live a better life. So I encourage all of you to find that reason that resonates with you and to use that reason to practice every day.
All right. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today, Brendan. really great to finally chat with you, because I know we connected last year and didn't work out and all that, but I'm glad we got to connect. And big thanks to Damian Andrews for kind of giving me that little push to get in touch with you. And yeah.
Of course, Chris, the pleasure and the honor was absolutely mine, my friend. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And as always, you can, if you are new to the podcast, please do subscribe. Whatever platform you're listening to, whether it's YouTube, audio only, TuneIn, iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, wherever you're listening to this, please do hit the subscribe button. And as always, you can also follow Crispy on the Web on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all Crispy on the Web. And I will see you guys on Sunday for another interview podcast. Till then, have a good one. Bye for now.
Entertainment Man Podcast is a weekly radio podcast produced by Crispy on the Web Media. All rights reserved. Any illegal reproduction of this content will result in immediate legal action.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week again for a fresh round.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.